Hello everyone and welcome back to the Cycling Dane Extra channel. Today is another one of our race recap analysis of one of the World Tour stage races, and this week it is Paris-Nice 2023. And as always, I'm joined by Mr. Gregor himself, Ewan Wilson. And today it was recap of stage four, which saw a dramatic battle between the two juggernauts of Vingegaard and Pogacar. But Ewan, what happened on the stage?
Well, stage four of Paris-Nice started off in Julien Alaphilippe's hometown of Saint-Amand-Montrond and headed up to the 6 kilometer long climb of La Loge des Gardes. Began with a breakaway off the front, which included Jonas Gregor in the polka dot jersey. To be honest, the breakaway is not that important. They got swept up just over the top of the Col de Beaulieu, which is where we had our bonus second sprint. There we saw Michael Matthews sweep up 6 points, surprisingly, whilst second place was on the score set from the breakaway for 4 seconds, and Pogacar swept up 2 seconds. From here, the race went downhill until the bottom of the foot of the climb at La Loge des Gardes. It was Ineos Grenadiers who led us into the foot of the climb. They were really ripping things up. It was Omar Fraile who took the riders onto La Loge. But at 4 kilometers to go, just sort of after 2 kilometers of climbing, we saw our first firework move from Pogacar and Vingegaard. They almost instantaneously got a sort of 10-15 second gap, proving their strength. They marked each other. In fact, it was Vingegaard who attacked, which seems uncharacteristic given what happened at last year's Tour de France. It was often Pogacar igniting the moves. However, they looked at each other and decided, well, it's not going to work. So they sat up, the peloton came back, and David Gaudu attacked. The Petit Prince de Bretagne went off the front. He got a reasonable 20 or so second gap there. But behind, well, the chase wasn't really working. Everyone was looking at Pogacar and Vingegaard until Pogacar really sort of went off the front. He got a gap. Vingegaard tried hanging on, but he just couldn't quite do so. He was left sort of dropped in Pogacar's wake. At one point, it looked like he could have made it back on, but in the end, it was panic stations at Jumbo-Visma and panic stations for Jonas Vingegaard, whilst Pogacar bridged up to the little Prince of Brittany in the breakaway, and Gaudu and Pogacar duoed together for the final 2 kilometers to make it to the line to battle it out for the stage win, which went to Tadej Pogacar. No surprise, he took the stage win ahead of David Gaudu in second place, whilst third place did not go to Vingegaard. No, he actually got dropped by other GC contenders. Instead, third place went to Gino Maeder of Switzerland and Bahrain victorious, whilst fourth place went to Aurélien Paré-Pantre, fifth to Kevin Vauclin, and sixth place went to Jonas Vingegaard, or 40 seconds down on Pogacar. So that's shaken up GC a little bit, to say the least. With now Pogacar in the yellow jersey, only 10 seconds ahead of David Gaudu of Groupama Française des Jeux. It looks interesting indeed. And Pogacar now has quite a hefty lead over Jonas Vingegaard at 44 seconds.
It's starting to feel a lot like Tirreno Adriatico 2022 here, where we also saw him do like these dramatic accelerations and the whole field just gave up. But nevertheless, Ewan, it's another exciting chapter. It's another chapter in the Vingegaard-Pogacar story here. Pogacar, formidable rider this year, probably been the rider of the season so far in terms of the races he's been in, etc., etc. Taking nothing away from Pickup, but he wasn't there. But yeah, we spoke about it on the stream as well. UAE have never won this race as Lamprey or UAE. It definitely looks like they are in firm control here, and Tadej Pogacar could become the second ever Slovenian winner of the race.
Yeah, Pogacar, he looked fantastic today. We weren't quite sure what to expect. His team did a lot of work, but then on the final climb, he looked a bit isolated. Felix Kolschaner did some work at the foot of the climb, but once he went, we thought, let's see what happens here once they're properly head-to-head, because we haven't seen them properly head-to-head, really. Vingegaard's always had a teammate there. Ganon had a teammate. Ota Kami had a teammate. And apart from that, he hasn't beaten Pogacar. So we were kind of waiting in a proper competitive setting. Hasn't beaten Pogacar. I don't accept time trials. Of which one was a team time trial. Nevertheless, I digress. Once he got into his rhythm and moved off the front, he had that strength, that sort of oomph that Pogacar has had over the past couple of years, just looking sort of seamless, effortless, and superior, to be honest. And I think that really showed something special today.
Well, we could talk about David Gaudu, because I thought it was a very good move by him to try and capitalize off the stalemate that was being presented behind with Jonas Vingegaard and Pogacar marking each other out. I think we have to go to Jonas Vingegaard, because the eyes, the whole point of Paris-Nice this year is Jonas Vingegaard versus Tadej Pogacar, the two last two Tour de France winners. And yeah, we know it was a weaker Jumbo-Visma. There's no Wout van Aert, there's no Primoz Roglic, no Sepp Kuss. And it looked like he was really isolated in the finish, towards the finish on the climb. There was no Jumbo-Visma, no Tobias Foss, no anyone.
Well, you say that, but Tobias Foss was rode a strong stage. He still finished within top 20.
Yeah, but he wasn't with him.
Top 25, rather. Yeah, he wasn't there where he should have been. Which, I mean, yes, it is a bit of a fault from their team that they didn't have riders up there. Yeah, and Trent Nick super in form, nowhere really, dropped at the first sort of uphill sector of La Loge. And then, yeah, just the team's sort of not there. They brought a team to capitalize on the team time trial, and then they gained 20 seconds on Pogacar there, which he cancelled out today with bonus seconds. It is interesting to see Vingegaard perform without the fully fledged Jumbo-Visma squad. But bear in mind, some people will be saying, well, how is Vingegaard going to win the Tour de France now? How is it going to happen? Because once we get to the start line in the Basque Country, Jonas Vingegaard is going to have the best team at the Tour de France. Let's not forget. He's going to have all of these brilliant helpers alongside him, the ones that couldn't make the cut for Paris-Nice. He's going to have all of them all together at the Tour de France. I think now is experimenting who should be on that squad. Jumbo-Visma have been quite quiet. They usually announce very early who's going to be on the squad for the Tour de France, but this year they've been quite quiet on that front, and I think they're going to remain quiet whilst they experiment even more with more racing to come for Vingegaard, because it evidently is not working here at Paris-Nice. The Rowan Dennis, the Tobias Foss, the Jan Tretnik, Nathan van Hooijdonk sort of coalition isn't quite working. We need a Sepp Kuss. We need a, dare I say, Primoz Roglic. Stefan Kreisweg, Wilco Kelderman. We need one of these guys to anchor this squad to possibly bring back Pogacar. But the problem, therefore, still lies if it's tete-a-tete between Pogacar and Vingegaard. There's only going to be one victor, I'm afraid.
Well, that's the thing. We don't know power data. We don't know where these two riders are. Is Vingegaard at 80% and Pogacar at 100%? That's the really annoying part that we can only speculate about. But yeah, Ewan, I mean, we could talk about Jonas Vingegaard and Pogacar for the rest of this recap, but I think we should also look at some of the other teams. Ineos Grenadiers, big losers yesterday in the team time trial, and not really capitalizing despite putting a lot of effort in at the front towards this climb. Yeah. Dani Martinez, eighth. That's not really a result we associate with a mountaintop finish and Ineos Grenadiers.
Yeah, I mean, it's the Ineos squad has been quite sort of frustrating in this race, how they haven't got the results that they probably should warrant. Yesterday in the team time trial, they should have been better. And today as well, they had plenty of guys up towards the front. Fraile paced them into the climb. They had Narváez right up at the pointy end of affairs. Pavel Sivakov as well. And their star man, Dani Martinez. So, yeah. Surprising to say the least. Even when things came back together, and we saw Sivakov come back towards the front of the group, nothing happened. Nothing came of it. And I think they're missing their firepower here. That might be what it is. It is a new team. Let's bear in mind they have Josh Tarling riding this race, also with Connor Swift, who's a new member of the squad. And it's a couple of these riders I don't usually ride together. Maybe that's what's kind of killing the cohesion a little bit. But they're missing Egan Bernal, who was supposed to be here, but he's prolonged his hiatus. So yeah, Ineos not quite clicking at this race.
But anyways, I think we can't not talk about David Gaudu. Such a tactical, strong effort there, or strong attack, and almost hanging on with Tadej Pogačar near the finish. But you and David Gaudu, where do you kind of put him in this whole picture? Groupama FDJ have looked very strong recently.
Yeah, I think they're a team that are building and building and building momentum. They have been ever since the COVID break back in 2020. We saw them sort of slowly building momentum, and now it's finally coming into its full fruition here. And Gaudu has command of his squad. We saw a really strong looking Kevin Genietz on that final climb. Kevin Genietz is not a guy you would think could probably climb up this steep ramp for 3-4 kilometers, but he was, whilst Tobias Foss and so forth were being dropped. So, it is impressive. And just imagine what he can do in the Tour de France when he's got his buddy Valentin Madouas in tow and a couple of the other strong climbers at that squad. So it's definitely exciting for what's to come for Gaudu. And I think what was exciting as well is that he was daring. At last year's Tour de France, we saw him not defeated, but sort of it looked futile, like he couldn't get any better than fourth place in GC. Where this, we saw a creative riding style from David Gaudu. And that was heartwarming to watch, really. And even all the way to the line, he wasn't sort of distanced by Pogacar by lengths and lengths. He was only by like a second or two. And he's still in the mix for GC. He's only 10 seconds back. So you never know, maybe with a bonus second sprint or a racing incident, he could still sort of fight until that final day in Nice. But he's still in a very, very comfortable position to finish on the podium of Paris-Nice, which I think will be the first time for the squad in a very long time.
So anyways, that's basically it for our stage 4 recap of Paris-Nice 2023. Make sure to check out our live streams, which we'll be doing every single day, and hit the like button, subscribe to the channel, and of course, as always, thank you for watching and have a nice day.